today as we come to the table.
The renewed promises of the Lord and what He's promised He's going to do. Some of you right now, God has given you promises. All of you, God has given promises if you know Him. And some of those promises, it seems like, have been years and nothing has happened at all. And yet God has said, I'm going to do it in my time. I'm going to do it in my way. You see, the difficulty we have in God's promises is they always don't happen in our timing, nor in the way we'd envisioned. But we have to understand that God is always true to His word. And in His time, He will fulfill what He's promised. And there was a lesson for Abraham to learn in this. And we need to learn it as well. You know, I can honestly say, I wish God wouldn't tell me what He's going to do until just about the day He's going to do it.
The saying goes, patience is a virtue. It's often hard to wait for something that we so desperately want to happen. In today's message, Pastor Mark talks about God's timing being perfect. He always gives us exactly what we need at the right moment. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. When we trust God's timing and don't force things, we realize that everything He does is for a purpose. Sometimes His timing doesn't match with what we think, and that's okay. God knows what you need and will give it to you at the appropriate time. Trust in God, and you'll find His way is always better. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 15 as he begins his message, Renewed Promises.
Let's open up to Genesis chapter 15. As we started 15 last week, we'll finish the chapter this week. We'll be starting in verse 7. And why don't we read it together and then we'll go back and look at it more closely. Notice it says, "Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And so he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that, behold, there was a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. And on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Father, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you for a time we can gather together, Lord, to see your renewed vows and your renewed promises to Abram. And Lord, even as we see you renew those promises and those vows to Abram today, Lord, I pray that we would hear in our heart the renewed vows and the renewed promises that you have for us. And Lord, not only would we hear your renewed vows to us and your renewed promises to us, but Lord, that we would renew our vows and promises to you. Lord, we ask your blessing on this time in your word. And we pray now that you would just open up the scriptures to us and teach us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Renewed promises, or promises renewed, is the title of today. You know, oftentimes couples will renew their vows and promises to each other after many years of marriage to simply remind themselves of the commitment they've made, of the love they've made, of the promises they've made long ago. And again, it doesn't take necessarily a particular ceremony to do that. We as husbands and wives should be doing that in just our regular relationship with our husband and wife, renewing those promises, reminding each other of those vows that we've made. Well, it's no different with the Lord and His bride. You see, the Bible says we are the bride of Christ. And being His bride, He also loves us and will remind us of the promises that He has made to us. You see, Abraham had received promises from the Lord. Some 10 years earlier, God had called him and said, Abram, go into the land. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be a blessing to all peoples. And in between that time, somewhere God had reminded him once again, remember when he came up out of Egypt with Lot, that he would give the land to his descendants. Now today we see him once again reminding Abram that he's going to give him the land. And you might think, well, hey, come on, it's the third time he's told him he's going to do it. But remember, this is over 10 years. And you know, if you only heard that your husband or wife loved you over 10 years, you'd begin to wonder. And I'm not saying this is the only time that Abram heard that God loved him. My point is on this particular promise is that God wasn't telling Abram this at every turn that he came. He was reminding him at certain turns in his life, I've made this promise, I'm going to keep it. And Abram needed to learn that God has promises and vows that have been made to him that were spiritually made when he was spiritually betrothed. And now he's renewing those promises. And you know what? I'm hoping today is that for us. That by the time we're done today, that we will have the renewed vows in our heart, the renewed promises of the Lord and what He's promised He's going to do. Some of you right now, God has given you promises. All of you, God has given promises if you know Him. And some of those promises, it seems like have been years and nothing has happened at all. And yet God has said, I'm going to do it in my time. I'm going to do it in my way. You see, the difficulty we have in God's promises is they always don't happen in our timing, nor in the way we'd envisioned. But we have to understand that God is always true to His word, and in His time, He will fulfill what He's promised. And there was a lesson for Abraham to learn in this, and we need to learn it as well. You know, I can honestly say I wish God wouldn't tell me what He's going to do until just about the day He's going to do it. I really do. I wish you'd just wait and suddenly go, hey, guess what today? What? This is going to happen. You're kidding. And then there it is. But God usually tells us, and oftentimes there are years of waiting. Now, why does God do that? Because He wants to teach us to trust in Him. He wants to teach us, He wants our faith to grow. He wants us to mature. I remember, I guess it's been 8 or 9 years ago now, when maybe not that long, maybe more like 7 or 8 years ago, at a pastor's conference in Costa Mesa, I felt that God told me He was going to give us a radio station. Now, God puts those things in your heart. And so there was an availability of some radio stations coming up. And I felt God said He's going to do it. And I was all excited. God's, we're going to have a radio station. This is so exciting. And I remember getting on the plane and coming back home and just like getting here. And it's like, well, thinking the letter would be waiting on the desk or something. Do you have a radio station? Or there's been some large donation. Somebody's left you, you know, the rich uncle you didn't know died. And he's left you everything or something. And yet, it wasn't there. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I feel like we're going to have this. I feel You said we're going to. And so now we'll just kind of, you know, it wasn't here when I got back. So then a whole week went by. And still nothing. 2 weeks. Long weeks went by. Nothing. And then suddenly 7 or 8 years went by. And the letter came in the mail. You can now turn on your station. Guys, our perception of what God wants to do is very rarely His perception of what He's going to do. And although it drives us crazy sometimes, this is part of God's plan. This is how He works. And this morning, some of you have promises that God has given, and you're starting to have doubt. You're starting to wonder, did God really tell me that? Is God going to really do that? And you know what? Abram was in the same place. We see in this passage today, God had given Abram promises, and Abram knew that God had said He was going to do it. But, well, then where is it, Lord? I heard You say You're going to do it. I mean, I really believe it was You that I heard say You're going to do it, but it's not happened. I don't understand. And God is just silent saying, no, you need to learn to trust Me. You need to wait, and you need to learn that I'm going to be true to My word. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it in My timing. And in the process, I'm going to grow you and I'm going to mature you in teaching you how to wait and to trust in the faithfulness of the Lord. This is a lesson that Abram needed, and it's a lesson that we need as well. Well, remember the setting, what happened again. Lot had been rescued in battle by Abram and his men as they had attacked the armies. He had come back and met the king of Salem and King Melchizedek, you know, and had the bread and wine and gave him a tenth of the tithes and all. And then the king of Sodom came out and offered him the goods and he rejected it. And then the Lord came to him in a vision and said, Abram, I'm your shield. I'll protect you from those armies that could come after you because of this battle. I'm your great reward. And so trust in Me and I'm going to give you a son. I'm making a promise to you. I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to give you this land. And we see that God is now making this promise to him and also renewing the promise of the land that he had. And that's what we saw last week. And now notice here in verse 7, it says, "And then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." Now notice this, as God reiterates his promise here to Abraham and his descendants, he says, "I am the Lord." He just makes a statement, "I'm going to do it. I said I would do it. I'm the Lord, I'm going to do it." And it's essential that we understand that this is a promise of God that was not a temporary promise from Abraham, but this was a permanent promise that did not hinge on Abraham's faithfulness or lack thereof. In other words, no matter what Abraham did, God said, "I'm going to keep this promise." And I think this is very important. You know, what I like about the book of Genesis is it is the book of beginnings and it's the book of foundations. And if you don't understand the book of Genesis, the rest of the Bible doesn't make sense at all. You have to really grasp Genesis to get a full picture of all of the scripture. And there's a huge doctrinal issue and theological issue we need to grasp right here. And that is the promise that God made to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants. And if we don't understand that, we're not only going to misunderstand other portions of scripture, our prophetic viewpoint is going to be completely off base. Now, to understand that, we need to understand a couple of ways that God made promises or covenants in scripture. Theologians call them conditional and unconditional promises, conditional and unconditional covenants. And they really are self-explanatory. Some are conditional, some are unconditional. This is how God works in his promises and in his covenants. Conditional covenants, first of all, are those that are only binding on God if man keeps his part. Note that. If man doesn't keep his part, God's not bound to keep his. What would be an example of that scripturally? King David. God said to King David, "If you and your descendants will follow me, you will not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel forever." Question, is there a descendant of King David sitting on the throne in Israel today? No. Did God break his promise? No, David and his descendants broke theirs. Now, not David, but David's descendants afterwards. This was a conditional promise. And he said, "If your descendants obey me, and if your descendants," note the word "if," "follow me, you will not lack a man." We know historically his descendants disobeyed and turned away. And so now there's not a man to sit on the throne of Israel for David. And that's the key to recognizing a conditional promise. It reads like this: "If you do this, then I will do that." That's the first type of promise God gives. The second kind of promise God gives is called an unconditional promise or unconditional covenant. What is that? Well, it's the exact opposite. It is where God declares he will keep his promise to whoever he made the promise to, no matter whether they keep their end or not. Unconditional. When you see those kinds of promises, you won't see the words "if" and "then." You'll simply see, "I am the Lord. I will do it." And so you see emphatic statements by the Lord. That's how we recognize what type of promise it is. In this particular promise that God is giving to Abram, we recognize that God says, "I am the Lord. I am the one that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees, and I will give you this land." In other words, we recognize this as an unconditional promise. God is saying to Abram in this promise, "I don't care what you do. I don't care what your descendants do. I don't care if you turn completely away from me as a nation down the road. I will never forsake you as my people, and I have my promises that I will keep until we enter the millennial kingdom and everlasting after that." Now, it doesn't mean that those that don't commit to Christ are saved, don't get me wrong, among the Jewish people. What it means is God has given an unconditional promise to the nation of Israel that no man nor power in the universe can break. And whether or not Israel is faithful makes no difference. You see, there are those today that say, "Well, God is done with the nation of Israel. The church is now Israel." Or rather, the Israel, when it speaks to that, we're the ones. And we have all the promises of God. And God is now done with them because they rejected their Messiah. That is false. And that is, in essence, calling God a liar and one who doesn't keep his promises. Why? Because God said, "I'm going to do it, and there's no conditions on it." And in just a moment, we're going to see that God really seals the deal by making it even more unconditional in his promise, in the way he conducts this particular signing of the contract, if you will. So understand that God is not done with the nation of Israel. Paul talks about this when you get into Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Paul says, is God done with Israel? God forbid. He says, the promises were made to Abraham. He says, I'm an Israeli. If God was done with Israel, what am I doing here? And so we have to recognize, to understand scripture and God's promises for the future, that God is not done with the nation of Israel. Now, the question arises, all right, God promised that he would make the covenant with his descendants, with Abram's descendants. Which ones? Remember, Abram had two. He had first Ishmael. And Ishmael is where we get the Arab nations. Ishmael came, you remember, from the arrangement that was not of the Lord. It was Sarah pushing her husband. She said, look, God promised us a child. I'm unable to bear a child. Go into my handmaiden and have a child. And that was not acceptable in God's eyes, but culturally it was. In that culture, if you owned slaves, you could go into the slave and have a child with that slave to raise up one after your name. And so they were doing what the culture said was okay to do by taking, you know, another wife in this servant that they owned, in essence. But it wasn't God's plan, nor did God approve of it. From that came Ishmael. And so Abram thought, this is it. We have our baby now. Sarah thought, this is it. But God had greater plans. God wanted to do something supernatural. He wanted to show his power to Abram and his power to us as a testimony. And remember, that is years later, he had, of course, Isaac. And then God had to let him know which one it was. It's interesting. Before Isaac was born, Abram thought, well, this is the one. He's the heir. And so there's no other children. So in Genesis 17, verses 18 and 19, Abram is talking to God about this promise and about those who would inherit it. And he says this, and Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. See, God said, I'm going to give you a child. He renewed the promise. We'll see that when we get to 17 again. And he says, let it be Ishmael. I have a child. Here he is. It's no longer Eliezer of Damascus, the servant in my house. I have a child of my own. Let Ishmael live before you, Lord, and be the one. And notice this. Then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. Wow, my barren wife? Yes, it will not be the child you already have. It's going to be the one that I'm giving through your barren wife. I will make her able to have a child. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him, note that, for an everlasting covenant, and his descendants after him. God makes it very clear to whom the promise belongs. And again, a lot of the problems that we see in the Middle East today is, who does the land belong to? The Arab peoples and the Palestinian people say, well, it's our land. You know, we're descendants of Abram. We go back to Abram. And so he's our father, and God made the promise to his descendants. And the Jews say, but wait a minute, he made the promise to us. It came through Isaac. God makes it very clear in his word, it is not through Ishmael. I will bless Ishmael, God said. And when we get to that, we'll see that. God says, he'll have 12 princes, and I'll make them great nations. But the promise that I'm giving specifically for this land, I'm giving to the nation of Israel, I'm giving to the Jews, and it is an everlasting covenant. Now, this one scripture should settle once and for all the issue of whose land it is, but it doesn't. The reason is because this is a spiritual battle between God and Satan, and it's not that easy to resolve. This is something happening in the heavenlies. You see, the conflict in the Middle East over Israel is not between the Jew and the Arab and the Palestinian. The problem and the conflict is between Satan and between God and Satan's attempt to usurp the word of God and prove it wrong. He's been trying this since he was kicked out of heaven. He's been denying God's word. He's been denouncing God's word in the garden. He told Eve, did God really say? Does God's word really, you know, stand up to the test on this? No, I don't think so. And so he's doing the same thing here, but God says, no, I've given it to the nation of Israel. Now, because of their disobedience, they haven't inherited everything that God promised. And the Bible says they won't inherit everything God has promised until they enter the millennial kingdom. He says, but I've promised them the land, and I'm going to give them a portion of the land in the last days, which God has done as a down payment until he gives them all of the land when he comes back in his second coming. And what's interesting, when you look at the scripture to find out the land that God's going to give them at the second coming, as it speaks of here and in other places, rather here it makes it clear, all the way down to the Nile River and all the way over to the Euphrates in Iraq. God says, all of that's yours, Israel. I've given it to Abraham. Now today, it's amazing. They fight over this tiny little swatch that's right down the middle of this huge, you know, land mass area on the earth. And yet the day's going to come when God's going to say, you know what? Every bit of it's yours. It's yours completely. But note this also, before we move on to verse 8, God reassures Abram here that he's the one that brought him to this place and he's going to fulfill the purpose in his life. Now, what is my point in that? And that is simply this, a little bit change of direction, but I want to touch on it before we leave here. And that is, you know, I think Abram was beginning to wonder, Lord, you've brought me here, but what's my purpose? I mean, you said you were going to do these things, but I don't see it. And some of you this morning might be wondering, God, how did I get here? Now, what is my purpose? What are you going to do with me at this point? Understand this. If you've not been walking with the Lord, you may just be out of the midst of his will. But if you've been walking with the Lord and seeking him the best you know how, even though you don't understand where you are, the Lord would say this to you, I have brought you here. And I have a purpose for what I'm doing in your life. Trust me. And so again, I think that's what God again was doing in Abram's life. He was saying, I've brought you here. I'm going to give you the land. Don't worry. And obviously there were probably some doubts coming in Abram's mind, not doubting God as much as doubting himself. Did I hear God right? You know, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? I don't see the fruit that I would think I would see for what I thought God was going to do. And notice in verse 8, and he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit the land? Now, Abram, again, not questioning God's word here, only seeking extra assurance and wondering how God would make it official. You know, God, show me, Lord, I hear you, but give me something I can see here. And note this, it's not wrong to ask for confirmation from the Lord to make sure that you've heard his word. There's nothing wrong in that. You're not sinning by doing that. Lord, confirm this. Let me know. As a matter of fact, I think it's wise to go to the Lord and say, God, confirm that this is your voice. You know, you don't want to run off half-cocked thinking, this is God, I'm just going to do this thing, and then suddenly you really mess up. But if you feel that it's the Lord, pray about it. Wait on God to confirm it, and then if it's the Lord, God will confirm it. There was nothing wrong in that. What is wrong is knowing what God has told us to do and then not obeying it or believing it. That's wrong. But when we don't know, it's all right to say, Lord, could you simply confirm this for me? You see, I believe Abraham needed some reassurance here in that it had been 10 years since God had first called him to the land. And you know, you think 10 years go by, Lord, you said you're going to give me the land. Well, it's 10 years down the road and I'm, you know, really have no place to call home. I'm living in a tent and moving on a regular basis. This is not really visibly my land yet. And God is reminding him, no, it's not time to be your land yet, but I've given it to you. You know, honest questions are different than stubborn unbelief. And this is an honest question. Notice verse 9. He says, all right, God's going to show it to him. God's going to give him some assurance. And why? Again, because he's not going to see the realization of getting the land, even in his lifetime. It's going to be his descendants that get it once they come out of Egypt. So what assurance is God going to give to settle Abram's heart? Notice verse 9. So he said to him, well, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now, what in the world is going on here? First of all, notice God tells Abram to bring him several different animals for sacrifice. Now, interestingly, these are the exact same animals that God would later sanction to be the ones used in the temple sacrifices. So we see God already sanctioning these same animals to be used again, but this is before the law is given. And notice it says here they're 3 years old. Now, again, when you look at the different commentators, they say, well, why was it 3 years old? And I too believe that God gives a reason for everything. I think that everything in the scripture is there for a reason. And a couple of them have said, well, one said, suggested that maybe it was because they're in the prime of their life, because animals at that age are in the prime of their life. So in essence, when you're taking it to the Lord, hey, this is nice because you're giving him prime rib. Or this is the good stuff, Lord. And you're giving him the prime. Some have even said that it might have something to do with Jesus' 3 years of ministry and the sacrifice that he made. If you're the type that likes to run with that, you can have fun. But I think the main principle here in this is simply God wanted Abram giving his best. He said, bring me the best you have. And if indeed it is true that the 3-year-old is the best in that age group of animals, then what a neat picture this is of God saying, Abram, give me your best, and God asking us to give his best. You know, the Bible says we need to give God our best.
Well, our time at the table of God's word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. 609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.